Huge game-winning shot for Kevin Porter Jr. And here to break it down with me is none other than Roosh Williams. Rona Game Roosh in the house. Roosh, how you holding up?
Man, I'm trying to make it. I might pass out at any given moment, but we're here, so let's get it.
We're here. We're going to break it all down for you right here at Locked On Rockets.
Blue Game Room.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Now, joining us to talk about Kevin Porter Jr.'s insane game winner in his first game back from suspension is none other than host of Rockets with Roosh on YouTube, as well as host of the Noble and Roosh Show, sponsored by BallIsLife.com. One Roosh Williams. We got Rona Roosh in the house. And not even just that. Not even like Rona Game Roosh. We got Roosh Williams on a mobile, which is incredible. This is some elite level podcasting we got going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, for quarantine reasons, I cannot access my general setup. My general setup is very basic at that, but I can't get to my mic and my computer. And just for clarity, that is the number one most downloaded podcast on the entire Ball is Life network, Noble and Roosh Show. So, you know, just letting the people know.
Noble ampersand Roosh, wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you're listening to this podcast, we got to get you guys on YouTube. Hurry up. Y'all got to get with the 21st century, man. All right, let's get into what took place. Rockets, Wizards, Rockets coming out on top 114-111 off of the late game heroics of one Kevin Porter Jr. And just to kind of set the table really quick, I mean, the final 60 seconds of this game was kind of a blur, right? The Rockets are leading by five, and then suddenly, look, this is a game where the Rockets are leading by five down the stretch. The Wizards don't have Bradley Beal. Beal fouled out with 9 minutes to go off of an offensive foul on Josh Christopher, D'ing him up really well at the top of the fourth quarter. So no Bradley Beal down the stretch of this game. KCP hits a three off of an out-of-bounds play to pull the Wizards within two. Rockets come down on the other end. Eric Gordon's running the show, threads the needle on a bounce pass. It's a turnover. Wizards come down on the other end. They pull the ball back out. Raul Neto drives the ball in. Jalen Green gets called goaltending, trying to block the shot on Neto. And then we come down. Game is all tied up, 111. Rockets let all the air out of the ball. You got Eric Gordon in the corner. You got KPJ, you know, with the ball in his hands. They get the switch on Neto. And you got Eric Gordon just kind of like waving KPJ out in the corner, just saying, wait to take the final shot. The Rockets had to be the team to take the final shot. KPJ does a little sidestep shimmy. And then, bam, drains the step-back three-pointer and immediately gets mobbed by his team and Coach Silas at midcourt. Roosh, what was going through your mind as KPJ was getting ready to take this shot and then ultimately hit the shot?
So, real quick, funny story is I was watching the Wizards broadcast, and when Bradley Beal fouled out, the Wizards announcer said, okay, if Washington's going to win this game, they're going to need Kyle Kuzma to lead the comeback. And I remember laughing and thinking, okay, you know, good luck. And then it started happening, and I was like, oh, my God. So when KPJ got that ball, and they started just, you know, dribbling the clock out. My first thought was, okay, good. Make sure you take the last shot. You know, don't prematurely do anything and give them a chance to win the game. And I noticed Jalen was down on the low block. If you're facing the basket, he was down on the left side, left block. Hands on his knees, just waiting, right? So I thought, okay, Jalen's going to come up and set a screen. They're going to run a two-man game. And I thought they were going to wait for a switch and then whip it to Jalen for a right elbow three, right? I thought he was going to come set the screen, fade off to the right, catch and shoot. And then he did that, He did all that, except the ball didn't go to Jalen. And then with about 5 seconds left, Kevin started drifting to his left. And I was like, okay, he's about to take the shot. And I was not happy with it, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was, you know, tie game, step back three. It's just not the right call. I think you got to get someone an open shot. Wherever that shot comes from, just make sure it's open, not like a contested boom, boom, you know, step back type shot, unless you have that guy, right? A LeBron, a Harden, a KD, whatever. And no disrespect to KPJ, but, you know, obviously we don't have a top five player in the game on this team. And then he hit the shot. And, you know, in retrospect, it's one of those kinds of calls. Like in the NFL, the Ravens played, I think it was the Packers a few weeks ago. And John Harbaugh, coach of the Ravens, they score a touchdown. I think time expires and the Ravens score a touchdown, but down one. They could kick a field goal to tie it up and go to overtime. But they decide to go for two. And they don't get it, and they lose the game. But there's clips that you see after the game where John Harbaugh is talking to his teammates, and he's like, hey, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, coach, let's go for two. And he listens to them. So I bring that up because in retrospect, it seems like Silas was making that type of, you know, team-building trust type of call with his guy, knowing that all this heat was on KPJ's shoulders. He wasn't having the greatest game up until, like, the last – let's say 5 minutes of the game. And he just gave, he put his faith in him, you know, like stereotypically just put his faith in him to let him prove himself and go out there and win the game. And he did. And it's one of those things that if KPJ had missed that shot and the Wizards come back and win the game in overtime, we're looking at this totally differently. And, you know, everyone like our good friend Chris Mannix is going to be sitting there saying, what is Houston doing? You know, terrible low IQ shot. Kevin Porter Jr. had an awful game and, you know, poor bounce back game. They lose in overtime with Bradley Beal out for the last, you know, 9 minutes and all the narratives. But the shot goes in. And so now the narrative is Steven Silas trusts Kevin Porter Jr. And I think in terms of relationship and in terms of internal chemistry on the team, I'm dying out here, dude. And in terms of internal chemistry on the team, I think it's one of those things that goes so much further than any of us can quantify, you know, like the trust that they build and just the bonding that they do over that moment, you know, like it's intangible. It's one of those things where, like, it's kind of like how you make friends. You go through shit and then you come out clean on the other side. And that's kind of what it was.
Very, very huge bonding moment for Kevin Porter Jr. and Steven Silas and the Rockets as a whole. Steven Silas did remark post game that he basically told KPJ on that final play, just go out there and make the right read, right? He instilled that trust in KPJ to go out there and make the right decision. And in that moment, right, they ran that two-man game with him and Jalen Green. And in that moment, KPJ decided, you know what, I'm taking this. I have the shot over Raul Neto, who is about this tall on me. And, you know, he can't even see him. And then KPJ also talked about the fact that he's been waiting for this opportunity, a moment like this, since the Lakers game, right? It's still vividly, like, in the forefront of his mind, how close he was to hitting that game winner against the Lakers. And I think it's, you know, really kind of poetic that in that game, right, Jalen had the opportunity to hit those threes down the stretch of that game, and KPJ had a chance to win them that game. This one, Jalen had a clutch three down the stretch of this one, and they ran the little two-man game, and now is, you know, KPJ's turn to come up clutch down the stretch. And I think post-game, Steven Silas, you know, remarked on KPJ's game, on Christian Wood's game a little bit. So I want to run that back very briefly.
Yeah, it's funny how this league is and life is, where we were, like you said, 48 hours ago, and then where we were tonight. As far as C. Wood played about as solid a game as he's played all season, like focused and attacking and rebounding and, like, on every coverage. And he was so good tonight. And then Scoot struggled. He made plays for his teammates, struggled shooting the ball, but making the game winner. It's just funny how life is because, yeah, I mean, prior to the game, everybody's talking about our culture and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just life. It's just life. And I told them in the locker room how proud I am of those guys fighting back from where they were. And we gave them a bunch of support, obviously, but the character shows.
we were talking about, I think that just you can hear it in his voice. Steven Silas is kind of like losing his voice during the post game presser because he sounds like a coach that went in there and was like cheering and excited post game and just proud of his group of guys. And throughout this whole situation over the last 48, 72 hours, I think that Steven Silas has shown, you know, the type of coach that he really is, a coach that really does care about his players and is really working on the growth of them, not just as basketball players, but as human beings, as individuals. And that, to me, has really cemented my hopes for him moving forward as the guiding developmental hand for this Houston Rockets team. Now, we're not done talking about this. I have a couple more points that I want to hit on regarding Steven Silas and KPJ, and we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities. Look, you can reach customers online across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. You can gain important, crucial insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. So go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of amazing features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go check out shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. That's shopify.com/lockedonNBA. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, thanks for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, go check out Locked On Now, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. Listen to Locked On Now, Apple, Spotify, Google, watch it on the NBA YouTube channel. Wherever you consume this content, you can consume that content. Now, it's just a couple more points on this KPJ Silas dynamic here, but I had to run this back because Mark Berman asked Steven Silas. I was going to ask Silas's post game, and Mark stole my question because he was ahead of me in line in the Zoom. But he asked Silas about the embrace with KPJ at the end of the game.
You know, there's times where you just want to hug a guy like that, and that was the perfect opportunity. So I probably would have hugged him that way, make or miss, but. It was really, really a good moment. One of the best moments of the year.
And then not only that, we got to talk to the man of the hour after the game. Of course, the guy that hit the game winner, and KPJ had nothing but glowing words for his relationship with head coach Steven Silas.
Moment for us too. Coach Silas, like, he mean everything to me and we mean everything to him. So like a game like this happened, especially after what we've been going through, like it's hugs and love is all you can give, man. And we shared a moment, and we just gotta keep growing, creating that point guard and head coaches kind of relationship, so I can be an extension of him on the court. And that's pretty much it. It means the world, man. That just means like he's behind me, and I don't ever got to question that. He's always been behind me since I stepped foot in this organization. And he made it clear that that's the way it's going to be with our relationship. And he know full force that I'm behind him. And I 100% got his back through everything. So,
some powerful words from head coach Steven Silas, from KPJ. And I was pretty optimistic and confident after the first, you know, wave of news broke late Saturday night, right? We get the Woj notifications, all this, that this was going to be something that this team was going to be able to build on and work past moving forward. Roosh, how are you viewing this situation? And has this, you know, has any of what you've seen out of the team or Silas kind of changed your perception about this team?
I don't think it's changed my perception. I don't think I had like a negative perception to begin with. There's two things on opposite ends of the spectrum, because I do want to stay objective. I don't want to just like fan out. You heard him use the word trust, right? And that's going to be important because there's going to come a time, like right now, you know, we're losing, we're 11 and like 28, whatever it is. And these moments mean more than the actual wins and losses as we build back to hopefully becoming a playoff team again. And so we can revel in these moments and enjoy them. And this is a very feel good moment. And that word trust is going to be important because there's going to come a time, and it's going to come, I mean, hopefully sooner than later, right? I said this in the I joined the Twitter Spaces tonight, and I said this in the Spaces. I was like, look, sooner or later, we're going to need Kevin to get his. A lot of times we say, oh, if Kevin can just get out of his own head, you know, the sky's the limit. And sooner or later, we're going to need him to really get out of his own head, right? Yes, he's 21. Yes, he makes mistakes, and everyone does. I make a ton of mistakes. I make mistakes on Twitter every day. And I'm, you know, 11 years older than Kevin Porter Jr., so who am I to say anything? But, you know, there's also examples to the contrary. Like Josh Giddey's 19 or 20 or whatever, and he's not making mistakes like that. And that's just an example. But my point is, at some point, he's going to have to get out of his own head. And you hope the reason I bring that word trust up is that getting out of his own head is going to require accountability. And the person that's able to hold him accountable is Coach Silas. And he's going to be able to do that because they have this trust, right? You can now, Silas can now point to this later down the line and say, look, man, you can't ever say I didn't have your back. You know, I put the ball in your hands with the game on the line right after you made a catastrophic mistake. You know, when everyone had you counted out, I didn't. But now I need you to step up, you know? And so that's the thing is he going to be able to get out of his own head? And if he can, then this trust is going to go a long way, because you can't, we can't, like, we want to clown on people like Chris Mannix, and I do all the time, but.
So, hey, but potentially soon to be a Locked On Rockets guest, Chris Mannix, that is TBD and in the works.
Yeah, we're going to see, but if you could just put that right there, that'd be amazing. Thank you. I appreciate it. But anyways, my point is that, you know, they're not wrong about their criticisms, right? Like, it's not normal for this kind of stuff to happen. We're just in a unique situation where we can deal with it because we are rebuilding, and the lotto pick is probably of the utmost importance, or at least secondary to, you know, development. And we are invested in Kevin Porter Jr. So, like, we can deal with it for now. But it can only go on for so long before it's just like, okay, are the Rockets happy with, you know, a game winner amidst an 11-28 season, or are they serious about getting back? And I'm not saying they're not serious about getting back. I'm just saying there will come a time where that's going to be the criticism levied, right? Like right now, like I said, we're in a unique position where this is cool, and like these are our wins. These are the victories that we get this season, and we're going to savor them. And the team will, and the coaching staff will, and I'm sure ownership will, and all that. But I said this in the Spaces, I hope this is a building block and not an isolated incident, right? Like, for example, Jalen Green has put together consistent performances lately, 20 plus points in 4 of the last 6 games that he's played. He's been much more efficient. Like, we're seeing the growth. We're seeing consistency strung together. We haven't seen that from Kevin yet, whether it's mentally or whether it's, you know, performance based. And so that's the next step, right? These moments are great, but I hope this is a building block, and more building blocks come in place to where a foundation is built, instead of just having isolated incidences and isolated victories like this. So we'll see.
You know, on the flip side of, not only is KPJ's one half of the suspension story that came back into this game, and obviously he's going to get all the flowers and everything for the game winner and his very clutch play down the stretch of this game. You and I were kind of going over the play-by-play just to make sure we had our numbers right, but he had a handful of his assists coming within the final 6-ish minutes of the game, and he had a trio of assists within the final 3 minutes of the game. One to Jalen Green for the big three-pointer to kind of create some separation in the scoreboard, make it 105-102. Then he had another to Eric Gordon. Then he had another to Christian Wood all down the stretch of this game. So some big plays being made by KPJ. But the other guy that was suspended and that had to come back and kind of show, hey, like, I'm part of this team too, was Christian Wood. And I was largely impressed with his effort in this game. He came in, dropped 22 and 11. He was really active on the boards, active defensively, really fighting offensively. It felt like he wasn't really settling at times. I think he had maybe one shot all game that I would consider like him settling, and it was like that mid-range, like face up, like two-pointer that he had. And I think that was like really the only shot that he like settled for all game. It really felt like he was fighting hard offensively. He was locked in and engaged defensively from the jump. They set the tone early. And it's just unfortunate, because as impressive as the game was, I can't help but sit here and just think, yeah, boost up that trade value, man. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at with Christian Wood.
Yeah. He had a great bounce back game. I mean, 22 points on 12 shots kind of showed, you know, being the leader, at least on the court tonight, right? and showed why when he is at his best, the Rockets aren't that bad. Now, when we get into the actual substance of the game, they didn't play their best game as a team, and we can talk about why. But for all the reasons you just stated, Christian Wood was good. He was also 6 of 6 from the free throw line, which, you know.
Did you happen to get a chance to coach him up a little bit in between this game and the last time he played?
Yeah, we had a Zoom call before the game. I was giving him some pointers, telling him, you know, get some knees, legs into it, flick that wrist on the release. But he's up to 62% from the free throw line on the season. And I might not make it, dude.
Roosh is going to tap out before the fourth quarter. He's over. He's done.
You know that video from Jordan's flu game where, like, he slumped over on Scotty and they got, like, a towel on his head. Like, that's what I feel like. And, yes, I just called you Scotty Pippen. But
I'll take it. I'll take it, man.
No, but 6 of 6 from the free throw line, up to 62% for the season, which is his season high so far. So that's encouraging. And just about all you can really ask for in a bounce back game, you know. I think both of them answered their critics. KPJ didn't play very well until the last 5 or 6 minutes. And you can kind of look at that and say, you can look at it both ways, right? You criticize him for not playing that well. And then you can commend him for showing up when it mattered. Like you said, 3 assists in the last 2-3 minutes in the game winner. 4 assists if you stretch it back to the last 5 or 6 minutes. One to Nwaba, Jalen Green, Eric Gordon, Christian Wood. Ended up, 9 points, I think, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 of 13 from the field. And so, like, those two guys messed up, and they came out and won the game for the Rockets. And that's pretty cool. So, you know, where are we at with Christian Wood? Who knows? Who knows, man? This has been beaten, like, as dead of a horse as you'll find. And I don't think I have anything new to add to the conversation. I think I'm just at the juncture where we let it play out, and we're not really going to know what's what until we get closer to the deadline in February, because that's when I anticipate that if there are offers for Christian Wood, I anticipate that's when they come about, and that's when we're going to hear about what his real value is at the deadline.
Coming up, we want to talk about some of the other lines and angles from this game. Specifically, I'm going to get into Jalen Green and how his continued performances they're starting to astound and amaze. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit with BetOnline, from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, thanks for making Locked On Rockets your first listen each and every day. Now, for your second listen, go check out Locked On Bets. Make a little bit of money, right? Your daily one-stop shop for all of your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling, free and available on all platforms. We're not going to take too long in this final segment because Roosh is getting ready to keel over on the spot. But we got to talk a little bit about Jalen Green. And you hit on Jalen Green a little bit there at the end of segment two, talking about how consistent he's been since coming back from that hamstring injury. He's only had the one bad game, and that was against the 76ers. And even in that game, I don't think you can necessarily say it was a bad game, just necessarily kind of like an off night game offensively. And I felt like, especially in this one against the Wizards, Jalen was a lot more deliberate and decisive, especially when it came to like securing the rebound, which he tied his career high in rebounds with 6 in this game. He was really deliberate about getting the board and then really pushing up in transition and trying to get the Rockets offense started early, or get into his offense early. And so Stephen Silas was asked about that post game about Jalen and his decision making.
Yeah, man, he's so quick. I mean, he gets to that corner and it's over, and he's like into those little quick finishes. but yeah, with him, it's all about quick decisions. And that's what I've been harping on with him. So he's doing it. Looks good.
I'm assuming they went over that in film study, because right after the 76ers game, I asked Steven Silas, I was like, hey, what did you think about Jalen's decision-making coming out of like pin downs and dribble handoffs? And he was like, it was okay. Cause he basically said the way that the 76ers were defending Jalen was a new look that he had never seen before. And with two big guys like Embiid and Drummond kind of dropping down and really occupying a lot of that space in the paint, he didn't have as many of the angles at the rim that he was able to get in this game. And so it's great to just be able to see that game by game growth from Jalen Green as he's like picking and choosing his spots and learning where he can be effective. And Silas already said it, right? He's getting so crafty with some of those finishes around the rim, whether it's using his athleticism to just like sky up and over the defender, or like those quick little flip shots, like as he beats a defender off the dribble and he's able to just like barely get it up on the glass before somebody's like in position to contest it. It's been great to watch. And he did it on a very efficient 17 shots on the way to 22 points.
Yeah, he did it against Jokic a few games ago. You know, he got that first step and then just kind of slid right through and got it off the glass. He did it tonight a couple times, I think, against Gafford. And then he had that one where to start off the second half where he went baseline and finished with the left off the glass, kind of up and under for the and one. He's just been more decisive. He's also mixing in a little bit of that that Harden ISO me on the white boy kind of approach. He's been doing some of that where he just blows by whoever's guarding him. And so that's what you
I
want
take
to see,
offense
man.
To that, Roosh. This is my podcast. No, it's okay.
It's just what you want to see. What I'm noticing is he seems better shooting off the catch from three than he is off the dribble. When he looks effective shooting threes off the dribble, it's when he's got momentum going, like pretty much to his left. You know, he does his cross, steps left, steps back, loads up on that back leg, and then launches. When he's just like at a standstill shooting the three, it doesn't seem to fall at the same rate. Against Philly, man, he's playing with Daniel Tice, and, you know, that coupled with the fact that Embiid was just ignoring Tice and just shading behind whoever was guarding Jalen Green, it just makes it tough. I've noticed that, like, on one hand, I've tweeted that he gets treated like a fourth or fifth option on offense, which I think is true because Tate has been ISOing a lot lately. Christian Wood obviously gets his shots. Eric Gordon does what he does. KPJ handles and dominates the ball a lot. And so Jalen doesn't really have a fit in the hierarchy. But on the other hand, he had a team-leading 17 field goal attempts tonight. So kind of conflicted there. I do want to see him get more run against bench units. I think that would benefit him and empower him in terms of confidence and just give him more of like a defined role in the hierarchy.
I wanted to bring that up to you. No, I wanted to bring that up to you because I'm conflicted about Steven Silas's decision to not stagger KPJ and Jalen Green. And I think that we saw kind of earlier on in the season, he was staggering those two guys, right? Jalen was usually one of the first subs out of the game early, and KPJ was the one getting like that extended first quarter run. And Jalen would usually hit the bench with about what, like 5-6 minutes to kind of go in the game in some of those earlier, you know, iterations of the Rockets lineups. And then you'd see Jalen kind of come back into the game, either tail end of the first quarter or top of the second. And those guys were able to get some reps without being on the floor together. And seemingly now Silas has gone completely away from that to where he's basically keeping those guys almost mirroring their minutes together. And I don't know if that's advantageous or not, because I would like to see Jalen have the ball in his hands a bit more and kind of be able to run things a bit more.
Well, what he was doing earlier in the season, you know, I just kind of, it's like null and void because it was with the double big lineups. So it's almost like, I don't even know what to make of it. We've seen,
I've said that too. Like you just ball that up like the first 17 games and just chunk it out the window.
Completely experimental. I mean, you know, we've seen that he gets off to fast starts lately, right? For the last six games, seems like he's gotten off to a fast start. And when he does, he sustains it. And so, I think you get him off to a fast start and then stagger him, let him go after the bench units, right? Like, let him go after maybe lesser defenders or a team without their primary big in when they're going like smaller, and just let him get to the rack, you know, let him do what he does. He also showed tonight some good passes, man, some nice passes into Christian Wood, reading the game right, you know, and then most important, just the clutch gene. We've seen it a lot from Jalen Green, and we saw it again tonight. 102-102, Rockets letting the lead slip away. I think it was Neto again that tied it up. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a Neto layup, yeah.
3 minutes left, boom, Jalen Green gives the Rockets the lead again permanently, right, technically. And you can't coach that, you know. And Scoot, too. You know, like he had that step back over LeBron in the Lakers game, even though they lost. It was still a pretty big shot. He rimmed in and out that one against the Lakers, you know, a month or 2 months ago or whatever. Tonight, doing it again, like it just seems like these guys step up when the lights are brightest, you know. And so I mean, we're starting to see like a lot of Jalen Green stat lines have been like scoring.
They've got that swagger, that like it factor, right? They're not shying away from the moment when it's presented to them.
Yeah, and they're very confident. And that's the other thing, man. Like Jalen, he gets his looks off like the weaves and the handoffs on the perimeter. Only occasionally do they send him off like a double screen or something and go to slashing down the middle. And when they do, it works. So he's not really getting varied looks. And again, it's tough because like we don't have a pecking order. And I suspect that might be some of the discontent that Christian Wood may have. Maybe he feels like he should be the primary clear cut number one, but it's just kind of like bouncing around game to game. Like it's like a spread out attack and we don't really know what's what. And it's just hard in the flow of a basketball game and offense. If you don't know, especially if you're the young guy and you're the only rookie in the starting lineup, you got to pick your spots. And so you pick your spots, you take a couple shots. If you're on, you start getting emboldened and empowered to continue taking shots. If you're off, you start second guessing yourself. And I think that's kind of what we've seen. But all things considered, 20 plus points in four of the last six, like he's starting to look every bit like the number two pick. And I love it personally.
It's been great to see. Absolutely. But before we get out of here, we can't not talk about Gary Legend, Gary Bird himself, who in before, just his second game back.
Before we do that, because I know you want to send it off with the Birdman himself. Can I just quickly gloss over? Jesus Christ.
if I don't know, can you?
If you just let me before I run out of gas here. Real quick, okay. I'm going off memory. I'm going on my phone, so I can't look at the stats. So if I'm wrong, please correct me. But Jayshon Tate, 4 of 11, 13 and 10. Thought he ISO'd a little too much. I want to see him get back to that all around game. There are times where he's just looking for his and doing that like one move he's got, which is, you know, pirouetting down the middle and then bully balling left hand off the glass. Sometimes it's great and he has those crazy games. Sometimes it kind of kills things in the flow of an offense because he doesn't usually look for like a roll man or kicking it out. Like once he goes in, you know, he's going in. And so I'd like to see him get more to that all around complimentary game instead of that like kind of ISO type game, because I think that's when he's at his best. Christian Wood, 8 of 12, 22 and 11, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. We already kind of hit on him, but, you know, doing what you'd expect from him and what you'd hope from him, especially bouncing back after what he did, showed leadership on the court and was also really active on the boards to start the second half that I think kind of set the tone. The Rockets usually get blown off the map in the third quarter, and they didn't tonight. They were down one starting the third quarter. They ended up winning the third quarter by 4. So that was nice to set the tone.
Steven Silas made it a point post game that, the players made it a point to elaborate on the fact that Steven Silas's goal was for them to not give up more than 30 points in a given quarter in this game. And they actually did achieve that. The most they gave up to the Wizards in a quarter was 29. And even Christian Wood talked about that. He was like, yeah, there, you know, we've had some quarters where we've given up like 40 plus points, and that's just unacceptable. So they actually did, I think, a relatively decent job defensively in this one, sticking to that.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. Jalen Green, KPJ, we already talked about. Eric Gordon, just classic Eric Gordon, dude. The Wizards broadcast was raving about Eric Gordon and talking about how, like, you know, this guy should be worth something to a contender that's looking for some scoring to go over the top. They didn't mention his defense, but that's okay. 7-11, 7 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 19 points, 3 dimes. Played excellent except for the air ball and for the turnover that you talked about late in the game that almost lost the game. But other than that, man, excellent. David Nwaba, 2 of 5, 5 points, 4 boards, what, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. He's been playing a lot better lately. I mentioned this on the spaces, but he's shooting 32% from 3 on the season now. He didn't hit a 3 for the first until the 14th game of the season, okay?
He's shooting 50% since December 1st. I looked that up during the game because I was like...
On how many attempts?
18. So, I mean, it's 9 of 18, but, like, you take it with David Nwaba, right? Because, like, everything else that he gives you, like... If the shooting can I'm not expecting him to hold 50%, but like if he's at least like a respectable shooter, like suddenly that changes the dynamic of his game a little bit.
Well, if my memory serves correctly from looking this up earlier, he's 10 of 31 on the season. So if he's 9 of 18 since December 1st, I mean, right? That's like, there you go. Hadn't hit a 3 until the 14th game of the season. All of a sudden playing a lot better. And when David Wobbs got the 3 going, that's when, you know, he's much more valuable. So shout out to him for that. Josh Christopher, I think he had 8 points on 4 of 5, 4 boards, 1 assist. The one shot he missed was a contested 3, and it rimmed in and out. So he was almost had 11 points on 5 of 5 from the field. He played some bad defense at times, over-pursuing, and it led to some breakdowns on the defense, and I think it led to like one just straight-line drive. So I'd like to see him get more disciplined on the defensive end, but he's having success penetrating and finishing. Garrison Matthews, I'll let you talk about Garrison Matthews here in a second. And then KJ Martin, I thought, didn't have the greatest game. He was 3 of 6, 11 points, I think, what, 6 boards? So statistically looked good, but he had some stupid fouls, and he had at least one sequence where he got the ball right under the basket and got blocked and went up with it again and got blocked again. And that was disappointing because I remember it being like a pivotal moment in the game where if he had finished that, like it would have continued to keep the distance between on the lead against the Wizards. So, and then also I wanted to talk about 15 team assists to 21 turnovers for the Rockets. When they were on that winning streak, and even a few games after when they were like 7-2 or 8-3 or whatever in that stretch, they were, I think, top 3 or 5 in the league in team assists, right? Like 25 plus a game. So it's really weird to see them kind of struggling. Obviously, Şengün's been out, and he gets a lot of assists, but even that should not account for 15 assists to 21 turnovers. Alternatively, they were 9 of 26 from the three-point line. So I think they had 85 field goal attempts overall, and if my math is right, 85 minus 20, 65 minus 9. So I think they took 56 shots outside or inside the three-point line, which I think might be a little less characteristic for them. Usually they rely on the three. They scored 62 points in the paint. So all of that kind of contributed. And they got a bunch of free throw attempts. I think they had 33 attempts. So all of that kind of contributed to the win tonight. And it's kind of interesting to see how all those statistics can feed into a single game.
Yeah. I mean, as far as that definitely stood out to me was the lack of 3-point shooting, right? Because they've actually done a remarkable job, I felt like, since moving away from the double big lineups, getting into, you know, averaging somewhere at 35, 40 something attempts per game. And then for a while there, they were one of the better 3-point shooting teams at the top of the NBA hierarchy. I haven't actually looked recently, so I don't think that they've like plummeted, but they've definitely been better in that regard. So to see them only finish with 26 attempts from beyond the arc, it just shows that they were, you know, really fighting to get into the teeth of the Wizards defense and get those shots at the rim. And like you alluded to, at the free throw line as well, with the 32 attempts there. But we do got to talk about Gary Bird just ever so briefly before we wrap this thing up, because Garrison Matthews is now the team leader in charges drawn for your Houston Rockets, because he drew not one, not two, but 3 charges in this game. 4 offensive fouls total, but they don't count like the one where he gets completely, you know, leveled off of a screen defensively. They don't count that as a drawn charge, but he is
that
now.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious when he did that, by the way. He flopped so hard. It's unreal. Kispert was just like looking around like, what did I didn't do that.
Hey, sometimes you just got to sell a call, right? Like that, you know, sometimes you just got to make sure that the referee is going to blow the whistle. But I asked Steven Silas about Garrison Matthews post game and, you know, what this defense, what his defense brings to this team. Steven, hey. bit of a quieter night for Garrison Matthews offensively, but defensively he had 4 offensive fouls drawn and he now leads the team in charges drawn. What's it like having a guy on your team on the floor for you that's, you know, willing to put his body on the line like that on a nightly basis to get you guys extra possessions?
It's huge. It's 2 things. It's him like putting his nose in there and being willing to take those charges, but it's also like his anticipation and seeing it before it happens. And that's something that we need a lot of guys to have. And that's based on experience and all that. So hopefully guys will pick that up from him, seeing the play before it happens and then sticking his nose in there. It's huge. So like you said, he didn't make as many shots as he usually does, and it was different because he came off the bench tonight. But yeah, those 4 charges are huge for our team.
I hope Garrison Matthews got a well-deserved ice bath after this one, as I'm sure he does after every single game, before the game, at halftime, after the game. That man probably lives in ice baths because of how often he's hitting the hardwood. But with that, that's it for our podcast talking Rockets win on the road against the Washington Wizards, 114-111. The losing streak is no more. We have a fresh, shiny, brand new win streak. Let's see how long this one lasts for. Roosh, go ahead and let everybody know where to track you down at.
Yeah, man, find me on Twitter, R-O-O-S-H Williams. It's right beneath my name. YouTube, Rockets with Roosh. Anywhere you get podcasts, Noble ampersand Roosh Show, Noble and Roosh Show. Recently, I've had Miles Turner, James Worthy. We did one with Nikola Vucevic that's coming out soon. So find me, man. Look, let me just say, I'm insanely under the weather. The Rona has got me in a figure four right now, and I'm still at it. Hardest working man in the underground game. So get at me.
Roosh, always a pleasure talking Rockets hoops with you, man. Hang in there, please.
Our double.
That's going to do it for today's episode. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also check out the YouTube channel, search Locked On Rockets on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. How did you feel about KPJ's game winner? Let us know in the comment section. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.